Hello, everybody. If you can hear the sound of my voice and all this stuff works, we're about to embark on an adventure together, an adventure called Dave Wilson's Park of Radio Liberty. We're going to be talking to some people that I've wanted to talk to for a while this week. And as you know, I'm sitting in for Dr. Stanley Moncrief, who's away on vacation for a couple of more days. He'll be back this coming Friday with lots of good stories about all that he did. So you join with me, and we'll have a lot of fun. It's almost guaranteed. I want to warn you, of course, that the views expressed on this live radio program may not necessarily reflect the views of the station that you're listening to, nor their management personnel, or any of that other kind of stuff. They're my views and the views of my guests, and they can be your views as well, as you'd like to give us a call. Anywhere in these United States, you can call us at 888-245-4237, or locally here in the Monterey Bay area. It's in area code 831-464-8295. We've got a great guest with us this afternoon, a real true friend of Radio Liberty, someone who absolutely knows what's going on and can practically flawlessly articulate the problems in the Americas today. And her name is Barrett Chose. Hi, Barrett. How are you?
Hi, Dave. You're being too nice to me. I can...
Well, maybe we better just hang up right now and I'll play a tape.
We just trust that God will give us what we are supposed to say.
There you go.
That will edify and equip and prepare all our listeners to stand firm in truth and in the facts in this very challenging time.
That's the fun of being a Christian. Now, is that blasphemous? I don't think so.
No,
anyway,
it's fun to be a Christian, Dave.
It truly is. You know, not only is the burden of my eternal security it's gone because I've put that on the work that Christ performed so flawlessly for me so long ago and continues to work in my life, he does. But, you know, that releases a person. Once you have no fear of the other side of this life, then you can go out and speak boldly and stand for his truth. And God reinforces, I believe, our ideals and our desire to serve him through promoting the truth of what's going on in our world today. And that's why I say it's fun to be a Christian today, because there's so many things that are going on that people 40 years ago would have never imagined in their wildest dreams would have happened so quickly. The spiraling technology revolution and the global pantheistic socialism that's coming across the world is spreading at an alarming rate. And there are those of us, hopefully I count myself in those soldiers, but certainly you, Barrett, fighting this with every ounce of your strength. And I congratulate you on that. Now, I'm not going to say anything nice about you anymore. That's all.
Good. That's good. But we have a great God. That's
amen to that.
But I just wanted to say one more thing, Dave.
Sure.
It's just so exciting to see the way he puts his people together around the world. I mean, the reason that some of what I research and write gets out is because people like you invite me to share it.
Well,
and so it just takes the body of Christ around the world. And we're just blessed to belong to him.
Amen to that. When I go to your website, which is probably twice a week or so, there's always something new there that you have written either by yourself or with your husband Andy or however that works, but always stuff that's just right on point for me to go away with, to use as a conversation starter for this program, obviously for talking with people in stores and elsewhere. And, Barrett, I just know that our subject today is going to be equally as important to the people who are listening and perhaps as anything else on there. And I've selected talking about community spying for the beginning of our program anyway, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
And because it's an alarming thing that seems to be benign in its origin in a sense. I mean, it sounds like a good thing if you don't call it community spying. But let me just read what you have on your website. Could your local letter carrier be a spy for the U.S. Department of Justice? Starting in August, that's this month, folks, might he snoop in your mail or report suspicious activities behind your back? Don't rule out the utility workers, the Teamsters, or the meter readers who serve your home and your community. If they're numbered among the 1 million neighborhood spies hired by our government as a part of a pilot project, they may well be keeping an eye on your family and activities. What's more, their subjective observation could wind up in the massive national and international networks of databases tracking human resources around the world. Gosh, that sounds like something out of a science fiction novel that might have been written in the 70s. Is this really going on?
It really is, Dave. And it is alarming. It wouldn't be so alarming if we didn't see how it fit into all kinds of other pieces of the big puzzle. Because you might say now, in the wake of everything that happened last year, we need people to be alert to strange events because our police can't check every person. But what's happening and the way this is being put together is much more than looking for terrorists. And when we know what the aims of our government is as far as what needs to be on be part of these massive networks of data systems around the world, we know they're looking for far more than those who would blow up buildings or be suicide bombers of airplanes. They're looking for political correctness, political opposition, the kind of radical faith that means that you will not bend your beliefs in order to compromise and be part of the movement toward global solidarity, unity, pluralism, and so on. And so we're looking at a tracking system that is wide open for all kinds of government abuses.
And, you know, we think often that there is a certain sanctuary in our churches. And there is on your website a fascinating series of essays entitled Reinventing the Church, Part 1 and 2, that alludes to the fact that there are being made inroads into the way churches even think about these things. And when you begin to put the information that we know to be true from UNESCO and other kinds of Marxist, socialist kinds of teaching, and examine what some churches are doing these days, it comes up with a chilling picture of how these things erode into every aspect of our being. We're going to come back and talk with Barrett Chose more after this first break, but as you know, this first break comes right away, it seems, after that 5 minutes worth of news and the start of the program and everything, and I'm excited today because I want to tell you about something that's absolutely brand new here at Radio Liberty. And it is, as I promised last week, the new Radio Liberty resource list, resource packet, resource, whatever you want to call it, all now easily contained in one book. So you don't have to deal with 10 or 12 pages of information, as you heretofore have had to do to find out what's going on at Radio Liberty. Now there is a book, which is how many pages is it? It's over 60, almost 70 pages long of all of the resources, all of the numbers, if you will, that deal with Radio Liberty, frequencies, times, internet sites, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all of the special things that Dr. Stan and his associates have put together for your edification and education. These are all put together in a concise way so you can find whatever you want. If you want to find out about Miracle 2 products, it's on pages 49 to 50. If you want to find out about the specials, they're on pages 52 to 56, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you could get a copy of this Radio Liberty resource list by simply calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 800-544-8927. Be sure that you give the person who answers the phone there your name and address, and we won't be putting you on any mailing list, of course, but ask for a copy of the Radio Liberty resource list, and we'll get that out to you right away in the mail. Now, it's in production, should be ready to go in a week, but I guarantee you that we will have it for you within a few weeks. And don't you go away right now. Listen to this important word.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
And we're back with the Monday's edition, the 12th of August already. Radio Liberty here. My name is Dave Wilson. Dr. Stan will be back on Friday, as the Lord carries, and we're all going to be interested in what he has to say about what he's been doing the last week or so. And keep him at the very top of your prayer list right after your family and ministry and all the other kinds of things that you have there. We'd appreciate it. Protection, provision, safety of travel, all that good stuff. Your prayers are very, very important to Radio Liberty. Barrett, you know something? Over the years, our neighborhoods have evolved into a sort of a bunch of separate kind of cocoons where we don't really talk like we used to in the old days. There's not any of these block parties, it doesn't seem to me, anymore. Now, is the government, do you think, going to be able to take advantage of this fact that we really don't know our neighbors? And does that have anything to do with their boldness in stepping out this way? You know what I mean?
No, I'm not.
Well, you know, I'm saying I don't know my neighbors very well.
No,
and so,
I don't either. And so the scenario that you describe is very appropriate. And I find the same thing happening when I fly on airplanes. I used to have the interesting conversations and share Christ with the people who sat next to me on the plane.
Right, right.
Now it's everything is so impersonal.
And it seems to me like, well, gee, if I don't know the fellow that lives across the street, it probably wouldn't bother me all that much to talk about the fact that he has siphoned off from the water meter, you know, this X amount of water that's going into his house for free. I mean, it wouldn't bother me to report that. You know what I mean?
Yes, I know what you mean.
Because I don't know him.
Right.
And that's
right.
That's scary to me.
Right. It becomes very scary. There's a process that works in the opposite direction, but the problem you post is almost like another dialectic problem. There are two sides to it. On the one hand, we're becoming increasingly impersonal, less community, and so there's a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
That we hear about all the time, the crisis that relationships have broken down in communities and in churches, and so people don't know each other, and so the government steps in to bring a solution, and the solution is a dialectic process.
And an offshoot of that, too, is that neighbors begin to distrust one another. Just that happened in Nazi Germany, didn't it, during World War II? Anywhere the fascists went, they pitted neighbor against neighbor to act as spies one on the other.
Oh, absolutely. It happened in Nazi Germany and the Soviet Union. It happened in China, and it is happening in China right now.
Mm-hmm.
We went back. We were in Hong Kong a few years ago and picked up a newspaper that I think it was the New York Times International, and they talked about the old neighborhood committees that used to watch every household.
Mm-hmm.
Have become part of the obnoxious memories of the people of the early decades of communist rule. But it's all being revived. It says now with experiments in Shenyang and 19 other cities, the government is trying to reinvent this venerable institution.
Mm.
And the article is called China's Neighborly Snoops Reinvent Themselves. And so the pressure to go back to neighborhood snooping, overt government participation, and support for those who are willing to snoop is being revived. But I remember back at the very end of World War II, when we were living in Norway, and the Germans, the Nazi occupiers of Norway, had taken over, you know, many houses.
Mm-hmm.
In each neighborhood, they had both my maternal and paternal grandparents' houses had been taken over. And everyone was afraid to talk to each other unless you really knew each other. But none of our neighbors knew that my father had hidden the radio in the attic of our house.
Mm.
He didn't dare tell anyone because you didn't know who was going to tell on you. You didn't know who was going to be pressured to talk, even if they didn't want to talk and wanted to be loyal, because so many people were being tortured. Now, we're not facing that in this country at this time, but we're facing psychological pressures that are far more dangerous and subtle and ominous than the physical torture that was faced decades ago.
A lot of what's going on will be coming from children, too. Isn't that true? I mean, the schools, let's face it, are in the hands of what I consider to be very, very active socialists. They are programming our children as well as educating them to some degree, but they're more importantly programming them to use consensus as a way of learning and so forth and so on. And there are very many instances that I've heard of where schools have asked inappropriate questions of our children as they attend.
Right. You know, after the 9/11 crisis, there was, we heard, before the 9/11 crisis, when we went through a series of bombings in high school and middle schools, there was programs set up across the country that were aimed at keeping schools safe. For example, the National School Safety Center, and anyone can go to their website, and there's a link from this particular article on your friendly community spies to that website. But they called for training children to tell on each other and to, of course, report anything else that was suspicious, but certainly to be aware of what was happening in the lives of their friends and classmates and to report it. And the head of the National School Safety Center, or the NSSC, June Arnett, said, it's the same story over and over. They don't want to be a snitch. That was at first, but now they've been able to develop that attitude that to be a good citizen and a good friend, you've got to report on each other because your best friend may need help if that person is a loner or is depressed or has any symptoms of not fitting in to, again, the new standards for solidarity, for getting along with each other, for joining the crowd, and for compromising what you believe in order to find common ground.
And that's what really is coming about here, is that anyone who is a loner or who perhaps goes to an evangelically oriented church or has a Jesus Save sticker on their lunchbox or something like that, something that's not as diverse as might be wanted by the school authorities, they are kind of made to be an example. And of course, in a child's mind, that's a horrible, horrible thing, isn't it?
Oh, it's horrible at any age. But you're right; it's horrible for children. It's hard to understand. We had a section on our website called "Preparing for Persecution," where I have interviewed parents and children who have really been excluded. Not because necessarily what we're seeing right here, but because of the pressure to conform, to put aside any absolutes that would stand in the way of, again, enjoying a multicultural ritual and participating in the various games that help students to be one across religious and gender lines and so on. And these children have, you know, it's been extremely painful for them, but they have been literally persecuted, not with torture, with physical torture, but with psychological torture, because they made statements that were absolutist, and they expressed beliefs and were made examples of in the classroom because it didn't fit. And, of course, again, this becomes part of the record. And Dave, it was interesting, just this morning I received a letter from a friend in South Africa whose son was actually had applied for a master's degree program in one of the schools, and I don't even want to say exactly where this is, it had seemed that he was accepted. He had great grades, he had everything that was needed to be successful, but he was told, I should have had that in front of me. What he was told was basically, you have some narrow views and, you know, narrow and flexible views, and we don't consider you a good candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's a Christian, a very strong Christian, and his father went to Christian school. So what we're looking at is, we knew this was going to happen ever since I wrote an article on human resource development, or developing human resources for a global workforce. In this global workforce, you need people who will fit in, who will participate at every level in the society, in the consensus process, in the workplace, in your community, and so on. And those people who are found not cooperative, not flexible, not willing to conform in the early grades will be recorded from the very beginning. They will have a data file that will indicate that these are problems, and unless they conform with the pressure that will be put on through interactive computer programs and so on, where they're going to be trained in using the psychosocial strategies, a more sophisticated version than those that were used in the Soviet Union to conform children there to Soviet ideology. The same type of program, just far greater and less easy to resist, will be used to bring children and adults into the new conformity.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, spying fits right in. You need to be checked. You have all kinds of ways to check and make sure that you catch those who are not going along with the program.
Exactly. And we're coming up against a break at the bottom of the hour. We're talking with Barrett Choce this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, a friend of Radio Liberty and a certainly recognizable voice here. Her website is www.crossroad.to. That's crossroad, singular, if you will, .to. Tango Oscar. That's Togo, I think, isn't it?
Tonga.
Well, I was close.
It's not in Tonga. It's just an option.
That's interesting. www.crossroad.to is the website where you'll find all this fascinating information posted by our guest this afternoon, Barrett Choce. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, about a tape that Dr. Stan offers in his brand new and improved Radio Liberty resource pack that is certainly germane to our conversation today. One that has meant a lot to me in the sense that it opened my mind to what's really going on, and that is simply something called the Devil's Heartbeat. Now, this is a, frankly, not a good recording of Reverend Millen telling a story when he escaped from communist China back in the 50s about how the communists were able to take over China. And he goes into detail about the brainwashing techniques, if you will, that they had in use there in the citizenry. Both young and old, it's a chilling interview or talk, if you will. Like I say, the quality is not good, but the content is absolutely astounding. Now, there's a special on this. If you order the Devil's Heartbeat special, you'll get both tapes, both part one and part two, the Devil's Heartbeat and Brainwashing for only $10. Now, that's a fascinating bargain that you can take advantage of as you call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 544-8927. And we'll be right back.
Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
And we're back with another half hour with Barrett Choce. My name's Dave Wilson, sitting in here once again for Dr. Stan. And once again, the name of that tape special that I was talking about just before the break is The Devil's Heartbeat. Get two tapes for $10 as you call 1-800-544-8927. And I recommend this tape set to you very, very highly. It's not easy to listen to. Now, I'm downplaying or saying that the stuff that we're sending out is not good, but that's not true. This is something you simply have to work at listening a little bit, but what you hear absolutely stirs your heart because you see so much of what Reverend Millen is talking about occurring right here in these United States today. So anyway, ask for the Devil's Heartbeat special. You'll get two tapes, $10 postpaid. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, that's all the commercial I'm going to do on that right now. As you might realize, Barrett, that tape had a profound effect on me when I heard it because I did serve in Vietnam. I have seen some things that I don't care to talk about. I've seen things change over my lifetime, as we all have, and it's disturbing to me that what has happened elsewhere is happening here today. And I hear that often from people who are from other places around the world. They say, well, can't you see what's going on? Do you have any friends who comment like that to you? You know what I mean? I mean, people from Europe or whatever who observe their station or observe what's going on in the United States and saying, can't you see what's going on, how things are changing here, just like we saw in World War II?
Right. Well, of course, many people, you know, many people I have communicated with in Europe, and for example, back in Norway, my relatives do not see what's going on. When I talk about it, they think I'm really crazy.
Really? You mean?
Yeah, they don't seem to see any signs of it. I mean, they go along with it. They have been trained through their media, the education system, just popular opinion to say globalism is essential and we want everyone to be equal. There's been some grumbling in Norway because a lot of people from the southern hemisphere have moved into Norway and have created their own communities and don't want to interact with the Norwegians who had opened their arms wide, and they're a little turned off by that. Mm-hmm. But other than that, they do not see, and I have several friends who are not relatives, in Norway, a couple of friends in other places where they do see, but what they see, of course, is that they're much further along than the United States is, because the European Union and the various treaties that were very quickly ratified in Europe have put together the kind of shadow of government that has set aside national sovereignty to a far greater extent than has happened here, although we're just trailing right behind.
It seems to me that we have everything in place that's necessary to simply unveil this, and the
right.
excuse from 9/11 caused an unveiling of this huge plan, this huge thing that's run by a brand new cabinet place now.
Right.
It's amazing to me they could put something together quite so quickly.
Right. Well, it was in place already. To a large extent, as you said, and the crisis just allowed them now to promote it publicly. But, for example, the TIPS program that we were discussing earlier will be coordinated in the various regions in the United States by FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Agency, which many of us were concerned about years ago.
Yeah.
And yet they seem to be really nice guys. They came and helped when there was a flood and when there was an earthquake and so on. They would just pitch in and try to fix the problems, hurricanes in Florida and so on. But they're the ones who will be coordinating much of the spy program. And by the way, I wanted to mention one thing. In my article, Your Friendly Community Spies, I had gone to the Citizen Corps website, which is under our Justice Department, I want to read just one statement, because what has happened when they saw the opposition, all of a sudden many radio programs and articles were presented which alarmed people, and so they changed the wording. Here's what it said originally when I printed it out and quoted it in our article. It said, the Terrorism Information and Prevention System will be a nationwide program giving millions of American truckers, letter carriers, train conductors, ship captains, utility employees, and others a formal way to report suspicious terrorist activity. Operation TIPS, a project of the U.S. Department of Justice, will begin as a pilot program in 10 cities that will be selected. Well, they've taken down that list of letter carriers and utility employees. They don't list those people because that was part of the problem. But and in fact, the Postal Service was receiving so many complaints immediately that they changed their mind and they decided that they would not take part. In fact, it says, well, I won't take time to quote it because I know we want to move on, but I just want to say that they said, no, we won't participate. We don't want to be accused of being spies. But then the day after they made that statement, they turned around and said, well, we're going to talk to the Justice Department about it after all. You know, we're not firm in our rejection of the program.
Hmm.
So this is being negotiated with many, many different organizations, both governmental organizations and businesses. And the goal is to put it in place late summer, early fall.
I have great affection for our particular letter carrier on our route. You know, we've known him for many years, and typically on the route that they assign them that covers my home and neighborhood, they stay there for a long time. Like, I can remember one guy retired after 20 years servicing our neighborhood. And who better could be seeing some change or observing what's going on, but you know,
or noticing who sends mail to us.
Yeah, exactly. He knew who I was in terms of, well, you're a pilot and you're a pastor and you're a radio guy. You know, I don't think he ever figured out how those all went together somehow, but nevertheless, he surmised that from the kind of mail I get. But the point I was going to make is I have never met a group of people, generally speaking, not specifically, who seem to be more intent if I can use the word, anal in their observation of their job performance. Once this is let go in the Postal Service, there, you can bet there will be supervisors in charge of postal reporting or something like that. There will probably be forms to fill out each day, even if it says no report, sir, type thing, because they are extremely highly mechanized and have a lot of supervisors at every level, and I can just see this becoming a real nightmare just
right.
with the Postal Service alone, not to mention our schools,
right.
who have the kids there.
And social service, of course, social service has been doing this for years. I talked with one young woman several years ago who wanted to be, she was going to be a parent, participate in parents as teachers, go out and make parent visitations and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And when she realized that she was literally asked to spy on those families, she had to report what they talked about, what they believed, what their values were, she quit. She was a Christian, and she wasn't going to tell on other Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And she was amazed at what's happening. But this program, again, the aims are not new. Just the tactics are changing somewhat and is coming more out into the open. And by the way, as far as the mail worker, going back to the question you raised right at the beginning of our conversation, Dave, when you asked about, you know, do you know your neighbors? Well, when you have the same mailman for 20 years, he becomes your friend.
Absolutely.
He knew that you were a nice guy, Dave. He would not want to report on you.
Right.
But when it all becomes anonymous because they're changing the routes that they drive and so on, and you don't develop those relationships, it will be far easier.
Oh, absolutely. And a lot of people often will say, well, this couldn't possibly be because the technology of such a thing is just overwhelming, and surely we're not there yet. But tell us what happened with President Clinton and the executive order 13011 when he signed that to begin this whole thing. Can you elaborate
on that?
That
was back in 1996.
Uh-huh.
And it created a massive new bureaucracy with authority to manage federal information technology.
So it's in place.
That was in place back in 1996. At that time, it linked together the data gathered by the Health Department, Department of Education, Labor Department, and all the other federal agencies, and FBI, CIA, EPA, all these were joined together. This is really important to understand because it means that whatever the CIA or FBI or whatever is received from the in the data files of individual students as evaluated by teachers, often who don't like Christian students,
mm-hmm.
because they're hostile toward their beliefs and they will report it. It becomes part of their file, but it becomes available later on to the Labor Department and to CIA, FBI, anyone who want to do various studies on just, you know, what are the profiles of different people. And so all of these were joined together, but not just the federal agencies, also international agencies. And we have to remember that President Clinton not only signed that particular executive order, but he had by that time, well, that was just actually July, that was right before he also established an interagency to oversee the implementation of the Beijing Agenda, which is like the Convention on the Rights of Women.
Mm-hmm.
The final agenda was almost verbatim in many sections the same as that particular convention that we have been fighting to a certain extent. And it required that every home, school, and business, and in fact, in every part of our society be monitored for gender equality. In other words, women in homes were not, or men had to wash dishes as much as women wash dishes. You know, that type of gender equality. Don't do the gender roles at home. And if they would, then the children would find out
mm-hmm.
and report and so on. So that whole system to monitor gender equality would be under the guidance and the control of the United Nations Social and Economic Council. That was stated in that agenda that was signed by the U.S. delegation and that President Clinton established an agency to implement.
It's interesting that you bring up the United Nations, because much of what we're trying to do here at Radio Liberty, Barrett, is to try to reveal to people just how intertwined the United Nations is becoming in our everyday life. Now, we hear the news sometimes about the bad President Bush not signing this treaty, or there's great hue and cry from the, quote, far-right wackos to say, no, we can't have this treaty or that treaty. And there is a constant pressure, I believe, put on our politicians, and many of them are succumbing, to sign these treaties, which are made up in advance and only generated through consensus of people going to these great meetings all around the world, to circumvent the liberties that we hold so dear here in the United States. And we're going to be talking more about that as we come back from our break. But right now I want to just remind you simply that one of the best ways you can support Radio Liberty, if you have a desire to do that, is simply switch your long-distance carrier over to Promise Vision. I did it several months ago, and I'm very, very happy with the service that I'm receiving. It's priced right, the quality is superb, and it's extremely easy and satisfying for me to know that a portion of my long-distance calling charges will be directed towards underwriting the cost of putting programs such as this on the air. Now, in order to do that, all you have to do is call 866-448-5631. That's Promise Vision, 866-448-5631. And tell the person who answers the phone there that you'd like to switch your long-distance carrier over to Promise Vision and that you'd like Radio Liberty to be the recipient of a portion of those long-distance charges, which we all make. And it's a painless way, frankly, of supporting this cause. Another way, of course, is to call 800-544-8927 and pledge your support on a monthly basis. Become a member of the Radio Liberty family of supporters. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that as the program goes along towards the end of it, but that's such an important thing, because then we can identify with you. We get a name, we get an address, we can see that these people are, in fact, standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the fight to protect America from what's happening from within. 1-800-544-8927. Pledge your support. Become a member of the Radio Liberty family of supporters. You'll be very, very glad you did. Won't you prayerfully consider that? And we'll be back in just a moment.
book that will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, En Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw.
The last quarter hour of this program has just begun, and we've got only a few minutes left with Berit Chose, our guest for today. Let me tell you about her website once more. It's www.crossroad.to, and therein you can find all sorts of great information about what's really going on in the world. And a particular part of your website, Berit, that I like is that place that's called What's New. And there's all kinds of fascinating stuff to be found there that's probably as current as anything anybody could find any place. And I want to thank you, if I haven't thanked you before, for keeping that website so up to date.
It's an exciting venture.
I guess
be. It's interesting. We get reports, links to articles, to news articles from around the world. It's very exciting because so many people come and they help us find the information that would be relevant, especially to Christians, that relate to the loss of our freedom, mm-hmm, or persecution and so on, and our intent in sharing our battle to stand firm, to know what's happening, to not be taken unaware, and to prepare our hearts and minds for the changes that are ahead.
That's so important that we really realize what's actually happening in our society today. And so many of these things that seem unrelated somehow, all this business about neighborhood spying and friendly community spies, doesn't really make a lot of sense until you begin to put it in the context of the latter days, which are told to us so clearly in the book of Revelation in the Bible. Now, I don't happen to believe the fact that we can determine an exact date, but there are so many things falling into place now that it seems to me that we must be very close to finding out the truth about what's going to happen in the end times. And the Lord Jesus Christ may truly appear at any time to reclaim his church for himself. And that's going to be an exciting time, and one that you, ladies and gentlemen, our listening audience, need to consider for yourself. And you need to examine the cause of Christ in your life. And that's something I'd be happy to talk to anybody about. If you care to call me and leave a message here at the program, I'll guarantee that I'll get back to you to discuss that situation with you. Right now, however, we want to just illuminate a little bit more about how this neighborhood spying stuff has worked not only for the children into our community, and there is a certain technological establishment in place, but also that this is hooked very tightly into the United Nations. Now, the United Nations is busy, isn't it, Berit, always trying to figure out how to do end runs around our Constitution because that's so foreign to them?
Yes, absolutely. They hate our Constitution. And as we have seen, for example, on the Human Rights Commission, where they have voted the United States out as, mm-hmm, not being fit to be on the Human Rights Commission, and they put in Mundavi, for example, of Zimbabwe, who is right now has been instigating the murder of lots of white farmers and is kicking them off the farm, allowing his people to starve rather than give any ground to any Caucasian person.
Mm-hmm.
But he's on that commission.
It's amazing to me.
Yes, it is amazing, to the propaganda, you know, the. It's amazing how people have accepted the lies that have been told, but I think it's because our human nature wants to be part of thinking and envisioning and imagining a utopian society where all will live together in peace and harmony.
Mm-hmm.
It puts aside reality, but it also shuts out the very real fact that there are many who, that the Christians cannot conform to this particular new vision and utopian envisioned global unity. I wanted to just, before, I know we're close to the end, and I wanted to just point out that we need to put into the same package the community policing program across the country. This was in place before 9/11.
Mm.
And, for example, on the one site that is linked to my article, Your Friendly Community Spies, it says, reinforce the philosophy that citizens are the eyes and ears of the community. Very important to understand. We have a whole article, full article by someone else on our website on community policing that we need to understand. And then I want to remind everyone of the hate crime conference back in 1997, but Clinton called for children and adults to report anything they saw. Again, that was suspicious. Didn't start this last year because of terrorism. This has been part of the program for a long time, and what they called suspicious then was anyone who children were told to report aunts and uncles and grandparents who might say something that would indicate that they thought their beliefs, their Christian beliefs, were better than other beliefs, or that sounded like a put down of somebody who lived a different kind of lifestyle, of the genders, and so on. And so the training, the emphasis on this has been going on for a long time. Echelon is another example. All mm-hmm. the millions of dollars, billions of dollars spent in order to spy on each other. Now, constitutionally, our government was not able to spy electronically on American citizens, but there was no law forbidding Canada, England, and Australia from spying on the United States. And for us to spy on those countries and then our governments exchanging data, and that's been going on for a long time. And having said that, and in looking at these scary facts together, I want to remind everyone, for example, of Psalm 27, where we are reminded that the Lord is our light and salvation. We don't need to fear the United Nations or our government or anyone that might turn against us. It says, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though an army may camp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though a war rise up against me, of this will I be confident. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. We are so blessed, again, to go forward, to do the work he gives us to do, and not be afraid, because in the end, we know that there will be a wonderful future, not unnecessary, not on this earth, but with Christ forever, but meanwhile, we can count on his strength and life and the words in our mouth at any time, whatever he calls us to do, and that is wonderful.
Amen to that. And you know, often Christian people who talk like you or talk like me are accused of being escapist, and they are said to be of a mindset that, well, we really ought not to do anything. We don't have to do anything about this because Jesus will come, and he will take us out of any kind of tribulation that may ever come here. I'm sure that you've heard that of some people, stick your head in the sand and pray, Jesus, come quickly. But it seems to me that you and I and hundreds of other people that I know are the antithesis of that type, if you will. Have you heard that before about when people are talking about Christians? And what is it that Christians ought to do rather than stick their head in the sand?
Pull our head up and take a look around us and praise God. Walk into every day just joyful, knowing that our King reigns, that he's the sovereign God of the universe, and nothing that the enemy can do against us can thwart God's purpose. There's no more wonderful place to be than in the center of his will, and he wants us to be watchmen. He wants us to warn others and to encourage others. Again, let me just encourage people to take hold of God's word, to every day, to take your stand on those scriptures, to hold them up when you're afraid. Scriptures like Psalm 27 and 23 and Joshua 1:9, other scriptures that are wonderful, that just speak to our hearts more than words, because they speak with the spirit of the Holy Sovereign God of the universe,
mm-hmm.
to our hearts, saying, don't be afraid. You are on the winning side. I will cause you to be more than conquerors.
The idea of our reading scriptures and applying that to our life is something that has always been an amazing thing to me ever since I became a Christian back in the late 70s. And my life verse is Matthew 6:33, which you used on your daily little Bible reading thing that you send out to email friends on occasion. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then these things will be added unto you. Now, that just says it all to me. Because if you read God's word and seek honestly and fervently after his righteousness, everything else takes care of itself. And then in this business, of course, my other life verse, if you will, is that Jeremiah 17:9, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's one that I think we need to apply to ourselves a little bit more too. And I don't mean to be funny about God's word, but he really does understand the human psyche when he has Jeremiah write a verse like that, don't you think?
Oh, yes. And it's so wonderful to know that, because, again, it just draws us into the arms of Jesus, who
Amen.
Has promised to be our righteousness, to take that old wicked heart and to put a new heart in our hearts. Not that we don't deal with the old human nature still, but always we can say, God, I can't, but you can.
Exactly.
It's over. I belong to you.
we have to remember that the human heart is found in people who do not believe in Christ,
yes.
and that is their motivating, energizing motivation no matter what's going on. Always examine that. I always say, follow the money and realize that people's hearts are generally wicked. That sounds like a terrible way to go through life, but nevertheless, it's meant something to me and helped me clarify a lot of things. Barrett, our hour's over. Thank you very much for being with us today. We wish you Godspeed on your trip east this weekend and pray that you'll return to us safely and you'll have a wonderful time speaking there. Just have a good time if you can, okay?
Thank you, Dave. God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Barrett Chose is a friend of the program, a friend of mine, someone who has her finger on the pulse of what's really going on in this country. And I want to tell you about her website. Once again, it's crossroad.to. That's crossroad.to. And I'd also like to remind you, frankly, that as you become a member of the Radio Liberty family of supporters, you'll find that we'll send you the four very best tapes of the month each and every month, if you elect to take them. We'll also send you Dr. Stan's newsletter every month, if you elect to take that. And $20 minimum, that's not a whole lot of money. I'm going to spend more on that on dinner for two tonight at a fast food place, more than likely. But, you know, it's important to those of us up here to know that we have your support. Give serious, prayerful consideration to calling 1-800-544-8927, becoming a member of the Radio Liberty family of supporters. I think you'll be blessed if you do. And until tomorrow, as the Lord tarries, when we'll have Alan Kariba on with us talking about environmental things, this is Dave Wilson saying God bless you and take care, everybody.